Thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. Yes. Father, we come together, Lord Jesus, to hear your words, Father, by your Spirit in our hearts. Lord, this message for today is our word for today, Lord Jesus, that you would be bread to us. So I pray, Lord, that we would hear, have ears to hear this morning what it is you want us to hear. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Hadassah. So we go to Hadassah 4 in the Bible. We could talk. Do you guys know Hadassah means? Did you guys know it was Esther? I have to confess, I didn't know that at first, and I should have. Especially being a teacher and all, you should know those things, but I didn't. But I was like, well, okay. Yeah, so Andy was educating me. Thank you, Andy. He has no troubles letting me know. We have a relationship. So in Esther 4:13, it comes to one of the most famous sayings probably out of the Bible that we've heard. It's when Mordecai addresses Esther and he says, "Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this?" It's for such a time as this you were created. For such a time as this you were put in this position. It's a fantastic line that Mordecai, and he asks it as a question. It was like, hey, what do you think about the position you're in right now in this situation? And if we're familiar with the situation, we know that Esther was in a place where she had favor with the king, and her people were about to be wiped out from the face of the earth. And it was no little thing for her to approach the king. So Mordecai was reaching out to her. But that statement there talks about, who knows, perhaps you were made, say made queen for such a time as this. And this goes back to something I shared a few months ago maybe, but that one of the most devastating lies that has ever come forth is that we have come from monkeys. Right? Remember that? Because when you get rid of the Creator, right? We're not created. When you get rid of the Creator, you get rid of design. Say, I have been created. You've been created. But if you get rid of the Creator, then you also get rid of design. And if you get rid of design that I've been made, then you get rid of purpose. And you see the road that goes down. And when you get rid of purpose, you get rid of accountability, the responsibility to answer for one's choices. So when you destroy the concept of everyone giving an account to God for life, and you've completely dismantled the fear of God, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Say, it's the beginning. There is a respect and awe for any relationship that of value. So Mordecai goes to Esther and he says, listen, you've been created. So immediately he begins to identify with the Creator and that you were created for such a time as this. That's a powerful statement to give to Esther. He says, it's not a mistake that you just by coincidence are in this situation. Whoops. Well, you just happen to be queen. You just happen to be... No, you were created. Therefore, you were designed. Therefore, you have a purpose. And therefore, you have a response ability. Come on. All that comes in line from the one statement that he made. Who knows if perhaps you were made for just a time as this? So the idea that everything is just all over the place and everything just happens by chance is a robbery from God the Creator. Right? You have been created. Therefore, I have been designed. And therefore, I have a purpose. And therefore, I have an accountability. Esther was in her moment in time where God had prepared, had a purpose. She was designed and she was created for that moment in that time. Why? She was there. And that's something all of us have in common right now here. Is that you are here. Yeah. Let's not try to get too complicated about things, but you are here. I am here. So this question could be for all of us. Who knows if perhaps you were made to be here for such a time as this? You were created. You were designed. You have a purpose. And you have a responsibility. So That was a lot in just one sentence that he shared. For such a time as this, a great question. You see, Mordecai earlier, he said, don't think for a moment in verse 13 that because you're in this place, you will escape all other Jews being killed. If you keep quiet at this time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will rise from some other place. Why did he say that? Because there was a promise that the people would be delivered. There was a promise that Mordecai knew that the people would be saved and delivered. So he put this, he said, we have a promise that we have a Savior, that Christ Jesus, right? The resurrection King is coming back again, right? We have that promise. We have promises in the Bible. And Mordecai was saying this question, what about you? What about now? What about in this place? For such a time as this, God has put you here. It goes with design. It goes with creation. It goes with design. It goes with purpose. Wow, that's a powerful statement. That is a powerful statement. That is a powerful statement. Do you guys think it's a powerful statement? Okay, I was just checking. So no matter what your parents said, if your parents say you were an accident, it's not true. Whoops. How did Hadassah get here? Well, when two people really love each other. Right? No. She was created. She was designed, right? And she has a purpose for such a time as this. So, I might get a little bit into the game changers, but last week we shared and we talked about invitations. Help me, Heidi. Say it again. Invitations. Thank you. I don't know why I was having trouble with that. We need to work together. Sometimes I need help. Invitations. Problems are invitations for us to discover what we were created for, what we're designed for, and our purpose. Come on. You're not here by mistake. You were made for this day to be here. Come on. You were made for this day to be here. This idea, again, is that we're created from monkeys or that we just happen to be here in this time and in this place is a total fallacy that goes by that you're just monkeying around. You know? You're not. God made you for this day, this time, and this hour. You are created to be here right now listening to me. And hopefully it really is the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Right, Emmanuel? So that gives me design, it gives me purpose, but one thing that's difficult sometimes is responsibility. No one likes to talk about responsibility, Heidi. Sometimes we talk about responsibility and we're just like, yeah, that you're responsible for something. To respond in His ability. Come on. Responsibility. To respond in His ability. Esther was set up for such a time as this to respond in His ability. Immediately she said, I need you guys to pray. Let's fast for 3 days. Let's seek the Lord because I need to respond in His ability. It was an invitation for Creator God to manifest His design and your purpose in that situation by you taking responsibility and saying, you know what, I am not just here, but I have been created for such a time as this to demonstrate, to step into the promise, to step into that which God had promised for the people that he would watch them, He would set them free. And Mordecai said, it's been promised to us, you are here, the design, could it be that this is your moment? Woo! Was that good? Okay, good. I'm just checking. Graham Cook says this, it's impossible to grow in faith unless we have something to overcome. Life is really about how we meet problems, difficulties, and adversity. It is in this process that we learn how to rise up and surmount these obstacles. If there's a situation, it only proves that there is a provision and promise that God wants us to step in that place and time. So many times is when a problem comes is we want to get out of that problem. Just take me out of here. Esther, I'm done. I want to get out of here. This is a lot of pressure situation. You know what I'm saying? Take me out of here. But really what they are invitations for us to step in. So last week we talked about invitations. We talked about what Jesus did on the boat when all the disciples were with them on the boat and everything started going crazy, right? And the disciples and Jesus, what was he doing on the boat? He was taking a nap. Heaven's not worried about your situation. Jesus was in his heaven moment. He stayed in his heaven moment. He wasn't worried for one second. The angels aren't up here, up in heaven right now, looking down and going, "What are we gonna do? Danny has a situation." Are they up there panicking right now? No, they're not. They're cheering us on. They're cheering on for this time. For such a time as this, Danny has been on the earth and to answer the invitation to step into his design, to step into his purpose, to step into his calling, to demonstrate God's glory on the earth. Whew. Right? Come on. For such a time as this, Emma, Doris, for such a time as this, they have been created to respond in their situation. It's an invitation to demonstrate the power and the glory of God that exists in Danny. Right? And that's what we just read. He says, we do not come to know that and learn that until we meet those things as that, right? Until we meet those as opportunities, right? To discover the power and the majesty of Christ in us, right? We need to get our focus off the problems and focus on the promise. What is your child's promise? What is your child's future?
Yes.
What is your future? Esther, what is your future? Mordecai was pointing to the promise. And he says, we need to respond to the promise that God is our deliverer. He's our savior. When David met Goliath, he was responding to the promise that he was ordained and anointed king. He had a future. David, Goliath. One of them had a future.
That's right.
Which one? And the thing of it is, David knew that he had one because he had a promise from his creator God that he was going to be king. That's what we're doing back there with the kids right now. We're discovering their future.
Yes.
We are speaking to their future because God is revealing his future. Remember in the prophetic classes that we had in Amos 3:7, he says, God does not do anything until first he sends the prophets to declare and to release his plans upon the earth. He's already released his promises on the earth. He's already spoken it because he knew, as we were talking about Mary Jacobson was sharing about everybody's book, right? Back in Psalms 139, we said we all had a book that was written before we even existed, that was a promise, that was a purpose, that was a design created even before we came here on earth. So our ability here now is not to run around and say, what are we going to do or who we are, is rather to come into alignment to that which has already been designed, that has already been written. It's to say, find out, Lord, for this moment, for this such a time as this, I have been designed. That's what we're doing back there. Every single one of your kids has been designed because they're here. They have a purpose because they're here. We're on earth here, yes. Now.
Yes.
A simple statement, but tremendously powerful that we're all here together. So right now, if someone come in the back there with an intent to harm one of those kids back there, we would galvanize very quickly in purpose and in unity because we have something that we know what is very precious to us and we act in response to that situation.
That's right.
We don't sit back and go, do we?
No.
You better believe it. I'll be back there. And I know some people in here who might be packing and be back there right away. They don't mess around here. We would respond. We have been entrusted. with the arms, right? We've been talking about the ecclesia. We have been talking about the apostolic church. We've been talking about the saints of God responding to the situations that are around us. For such a time as this, you were designed to respond to that invitation, right? Respond to that invitation, to that problem, to that situation that seems so big, where God can demonstrate heaven to you. And I have scriptures, and I don't know where I'm at a lot, but I'll find it here. Sometimes I get going. And Romans 8, 28 says, "And we know in all things," say all things, "God works for the good for those that love him." This is a great promise. Because all things in the Hebrew language means all things. I don't know exactly. But he's talking about everything. So that means right now. Are you in an all things moment? That God works out for the good for those who love him. For those God foreknew. Say foreknew. Sounds like something beforehand. He also predestined. Predestined. Again, before, right? He designed. He created. Predestined. To be conformed to the image of his Son. How many scriptures talk about Christ in me, the hope of glory? I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless. Every situation is designed for me to release that which Christ had already come. Release the rivers of love. Release the rivers of heaven, life into that situation. I was designed and made to do that. And what we do is when situations come up and circumstances, and Peter McHugh says it the best, he says, who I am under pressure is who I really am. So when the pressure hits, when the storm started to wave up, and you're on the boat, right? How do you respond to that situation? It's only to help us identify what we're building. Remember the shift, and it talked about the shaking? It says, everything that I am believing right now about who I am and myself in this situation. So the disciples were on the boat, and that whole situation was falling apart because they had been in that situation before. Everything was, and they knew that their lives were in trouble. Okay? So they began to respond in the same thing, same way again. Now Jesus was sitting on the boat, living in heaven, just because he knew. He knew. The disciples didn't know yet. It was an opportunity and an invitation to demonstrate for them to speak to the storm. Right? And Jesus, when he said, "Where's your faith?" he was saying, "I thought you would know by now that you're different. I thought you would have learned by now that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I thought you would have known by now that you had my source, the Spirit of God, the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Do it, I do it, do. Excuse me. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells inside of me. Release it. Speak to the storm. You were created for such a time as this. So these are invitations and opportunities for us to act out and to respond to who we are. They're opportunities. So guess what? We don't have problems. We have tremendous opportunities. Because either Jesus Christ saved us or he didn't. In that case, we got a problem. You know, a farmer told me one time, he said, "A problem is only a problem if there is no solution." And I remember that. That was a long time ago, David. That was out in North Dakota 15 years ago. The farmer looked at me and we had a situation with the bin, and he looked at me and said, "You know what, we're to fix it." He said, "That's no problem. Because a problem is only a problem if there is not a solution." Do we have a solution this morning? Do we have a solution this morning? For such a time as this, do we have a solution this morning?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. And what excites me is we're on this journey and this invitation to discover what this looks like for me. Because we have gone through something before, as the disciples did, and literally it didn't turn out good. But something's changed now. You're not the same as you were back then. I am carrying inside of me the rivers of living water, and that scriptures that talk about Christ in me, the hope of glory, all those things are part of my design. That he said, we have been predestined to be conformed in the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. Look around you. And those he predestined, he also called. Come on. Really? You are here and you are called. You are designed. You have a purpose.
Yes.
Come on. He's those he predestined, he also called. Hello, Tom. Right? He called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. So whatever is in heaven, we have authority and permission to call, to pray to earth, earth as it is in heaven. We have been given authority, come on, to have dominion on earth from the very beginning of Genesis. Right? So what are the resources and provision in heaven that God wants to partner with you in here on earth to release his glory in that situation? See, when David approached Goliath, he approached Goliath as, you come at me, Goliath, and we're learning this back here with the kids. You come at me with a sword and a spear, right? That's all the natural things you see. But what did Goliath see? He did see, but I come at you. And he called them the Lord, with the, in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, okay? So what did David see? I'm just saying. What did David see? And if Goliath saw it, he wouldn't have been there. But David saw it. You mean the angels are on our side? Back there? How many angels are there? Well, you know, the angels outnumber the bad angels. 2-1. How do I know that? Because 1/3 of the angels were cast down. That means 2/3 stayed up. So 2-1. I like those odds.
Yes.
I also like it that it's been written too.
Yes.
Right? We win. So if I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, then all my circumstances are also. Right? Are you in Christ? A new creation, Christ in me, the hope of glory, then all your situations are in there too. And I want to tell you something. All of heaven is attracted to Christ in you. He's wanting to empower that part of us in our lives. These other things that aren't us, that have us on the boat, that are shaken, that just break us, that we're in panic mode and fear, a council of fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love is identifying with who God really is. God is love, and this was last week too. A covenant love that God laid down for every single one of us. And what we are trusting is not we are trusting in who God is and in that love. And knowing that He is Almighty, His Majesty. I am created. So when Esther was in her moment in her time, when she was in that place, she said, Whatever happens, she sought the Lord. And she had that pressure moment, and she began to respond. She began to respond as not a person that was just accidentally in this situation, in this place, looking for an answer. She began to respond to a king, an almighty God in heaven, who had already had her purpose and design for such a time as this. When we realize that we were created to be on this earth for such a time as this, we look at every situation differently, because it's not about chaotic things happening. It's about God doing a setup around us in our lives, that every provision and every promise has already been laid out. When Esther approached the king, God was already working on the king. The king was already having dreams about who was this man that saved my life by discovering the plot to kill me. There was two men that were going to kill him, the guards. And he said, who was that man that did that? He had a dream. So God was already working on the behalf. So Haman was doing stuff, and Haman was setting up the Jews to be slaughtered. At the same time, God was working favor with the king and Esther. There were things that were happening that were unseen. There were things that were happening that were giving favor to Esther and that were surrounding Esther and his people. And God was at work on their behalf. Just like David said, the Lord of heaven's armies is on my side. They are doing things. I am entrusting in that God is working on my behalf for his glory, to bring glory, like he said, that he also glorified. That means he's bringing himself in that situation. So we are designed to walk into that situation and release the glory of God. It's not Tom up here preaching. Rather, it's Tom submitting and coming into alignment with the prophetic word. That's what he designed me for. That's what he called me to this very hour, for such a time as this, to release his glory on the earth and declare the goodness of the Lord. You were made for that. Now, I'm responsible for that. And you're responsible for that. And you're responsible for that. Because Christ went to the cross, so when people look at me, do they see Christ in me, or do they see something else? Did you and your wife had a something else moment this morning? I don't see Jesus right now, Tom. Right? Because we're, right? That's not me. That's not who I really am. That's not what I'm designed to be. We were designed to release all that love that we've received. When I received Jesus, it felt good. How many here have received Jesus? I hope every single one of you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I want to let you know you can do that right now. Come on. I needed a Savior. I needed Jesus in my life because I knew in my heart that I was not okay by myself. God revealed that to me. And what did I do? I took personal responsibility for that because I knew I needed help. And I reached out. Yes. Come on. And he became my Savior and my Lord. That very same love, that very same thing that has been put into us, we have been designed, we have been created with a purpose to release that. So when situations and circumstances come up, we'll find ourselves trying to release that, or it's going to cause something else, like the disciples on the boat. They're going to relate to an old mindset, a thought about what happens, or they're going to have a new mindset like David did and said, you know what, Lord of heaven's armies, I was designed for a purpose at a time to speak this, like Esther. She grabbed a hold of it, and she began to speak to it. It's impossible for you to be in a situation where there is not a promise or a provision in heaven just waiting for that. To say that would be that say that I'm not really saved and I'm not really born again, and that Christ's work on the cross wasn't enough. Right? It's enough. It's done. All those things that were set against us have been wiped away. Above all things are new. So now we're learning to identify with that. David said it like this. In Psalms 23, he said, "You prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Right now, whatever you're going through, God has prepared a table for you in the midst. So the question is, what is on that table that I need to respond to, that God has prepared for me and engaged the situation with, because he's prepared it. He has prepared it. In the midst of his enemies, David said, God has prepared for me a table. There is a smorgasbord. Do they call it a smorgasbord? A bunch of different things, okay? Everything in the midst of my enemies. Where is it? It's in the midst of my enemies. Oh, it's just in my church. No, it's in the midst of that very circumstance. It's an invitation to respond to the power and the glory that lives inside you to release it. Because it's there. This is so good. This will change your life forever, because when you go out that door, I'm pretty sure there's something that's giving you invitations. Where are your invitations? Did you guys get any invitations? Does anybody here have any invitations? Do you have an invitation? I didn't get an invitation. No, I have invitations. Do you have an invitation? Some of you got an invitation to come here for today, because Hadassah is going to be dedicated. So in the midst of your problem, heaven has made available to you to take from the table. You talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Which fruit of the Spirit is available to you right now? One, two, three, all of them. Why? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. That's a tough one. Patience. So if you're having a moment, an invitation right now, and you're not feeling too patient, or you're restless, right? So you pray and you seek the Lord. You realize instead of trying to fix that problem or engage that problem on that level, the Lord is wanting you to rise up and realize who we are. That heaven has a provision for that situation. He has a measure of love set on that table, ready for you to eat. It's sitting right there. And don't run around this way. Rather than not stop and say, "What have you prepared for me in this situation, Father God, that I shall partake of, hallelujah, to release, because I've been predestined to be here, your glory on the earth. You have obviously given me a provision to walk in right now. How do I walk in your love? I need a measure. I need to find that fruit of the Spirit. How do I walk in long suffering right now? Because this is a long situation. It's right there for you to take. Come on." And when we learn, because this is what we just talked about, you don't learn any of this until there's a situation or there's a place on the boat or there's an Esther with that place to demonstrate the glory of God in that situation. You don't learn it any other way. You don't learn it by sitting in a sermon, having Tom talk about it and say, "Man, I got that." You go out that door and you begin to engage that problem the same way you did before. Instead of getting down and realizing that the Creator God of the universe is in my life right now, and His angels, the Lord of Heaven's armies, is on my side, and I have been designed for such a time as this to be right here to demonstrate His glory. So, Father God, what is it that you want me to do right now that I may tap in from your table and I may start eating so that I can release, so they can start seeing you and not me, that whatever my reaction is can be released, Father God, that they can see your glory and not me? Because you're my Savior, I'm not. Father God, I want them to see you in me. And the way that happens when you eat from His table, what He's prepared for you. Come on, church.
That's right.
Come on, Ecclesia. Every single one of it, this is what we have in common. Because you're here. You're here. No, I mean like on the earth, you're here. You're not always going to be here, but you're here now. Esther, you're here now. You're here now. Our Creator has scheduled you. Danny was right on time. Well, Danny's parents loved each other so much. And yes. No, Danny was designed and made to be here right now. So was David, so was Heidi, so was everybody else. Oops, someone's... Right now. That means us together. That is something we can relate to. So if we're all on Survivor, let's just say this group here is going to be in Survivor. And all of us are going to the island of Mocambique. Right? I begin to relate to Danny differently because I know we're going to need each other. Danny is going to be in charge of cracking the coconuts. Right? Because every single one of you has a design and a purpose. It's to my advantage to know Danny's design and his purpose. Because Jesus said, he's come from a church. Jesus said, the church, and we talked about the ecclesia, the gates of hell will not prevail. It is to my advantage to know what Hadassah's calling and gift is. Because I need it right. I'm going to use her. I'm going to use it. I'm going to use whatever it is. She's anointed in prayer, and she's got prophetic gifts. I'm going to tap into every single one of those. It's to my benefit. It's to the whole church's benefit that we use that. Because we've been designed for such a time as this. To engage all that and give glory of whatever it is that is around us, we need each other. When Jacob began to prophesy, I began to look at Jacob differently, and I shared this a few weeks ago. But when I began to respond to who Jacob was designed to be, and when I began to speak into that, and Jacob, you are a prophet, I could look at Jacob as something different. I could look at Dan as something different than who God's called him to be. And when I do that, I receive nothing from Dan, he receives nothing from me. But when I see the design and the purpose that God has created all of us to be, When I do that and I respond to that and I interact with that, guess what I get? I get everything that Jacob's getting downloaded in. I receive the prophet's reward. Come on. Come on. All these kids back here, you know what we're doing? We're finding out every single one of their futures. Do you know your kid's future? Because when they go through the battle and they fight, they're going to want to hold on to a promise. And I've heard the battle cries go out. And Mordecai went back. He said, God, you said you would be our deliverer, that you would deliver us. Every single one of your kids has a promise in the future. Every single one of them do. Do you know what it is? Have you sought the Lord for such a time as this? Because it becomes a super powerful weapon. When you go to face your Goliath out there in the world, you're not running around trying to figure out your own life. You're not trying around to figure out how to respond to your own situation. What? Like God has not prepared something for you? Like God has not given you a destiny or a provision for your situation? Like you have to figure it out on your own? No, I have been designed for such a time as this. Lord, help me eat from that table that you have given to me and help me disconnect from that false identity that I'm responding in, who told you? I love that when Peter McHugh last week said, who told you to be afraid? Who told you that fear was an adequate? Who told you that you were nothing? Who told you that you were no good? Who told you that you were unworthy? But in Christ Jesus, all those things have changed. We find that identity. So when we reach out, so this very moment right now, the Holy Spirit, God has something prepared for his saints to engage with, to respond with, that we could walk in the glory of God for this time and this hour. He has it for you. He has it for your kids. So now back there with my kids, and man, why does this keep falling down? There we go. So your kids are going to face situations and problems, and you're not going to be there. What do you want for them? You're not going to be there all the time. But I do know who can be and who is. Lord of Heaven's armies. That's pretty cool. You mean he's with me? Yeah, he's always with you. I mean right now? Yeah, right now. Even when I'm not with you? Yeah. Do you want him to know that? Do you want him to know that God's designed them and that God's speaking into their design so they can say, yes, this is me, like David did, said yes. Do you want them to know that so that when they engage your situation, they know what God thinks about them? My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that my God cannot do for such a time as this. What's going on for such a time as this? What's happening in our country for such a time as this? Do you think you have a responsibility, a response to his ability in your life to respond to the situations in our country, church? Do we? We do. Can we call to the Lord of Heaven's armies in that situation? Oh, man. Politics. Donald Trump. Obama. Right? We can get caught up in all those things. But do you realize that you were designed for such a time as this to respond to that, that the church would rise up and respond in those situations? Right? 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 I love what in one of the meetings Trump had when he was bringing everybody together, he was focusing on something. He said, you don't create unity by focusing on unity. It doesn't happen. When you focus on unity, you create compromise. I don't want anybody here to compromise the call of God on their life. I want them to know their destiny. I want to know them to know their design and that they have a purpose in their future, and we're going to release it, whatever that is, because I'm only going to benefit from it. And we're only going to benefit from it. When Hadassah gets her words, when Hadassah speaks, we will benefit for her stepping into her destiny, to her future, right? Especially if she's rich, she's going to be my best friend. Right? She's good. I mean, but I'm just for the kingdom of God. So some of you are looking at me that. But when we focus on diversity, right, we create sections and we create disunity. But if we focus on how we relate to one another, who you are and who I am, and that we were created for this day. Even that thought right now that every single one of us in this room have been created for such a time as this, that puts us all in the same place that we can relate to one another. You have been. You have been. JP, you've been created for such a time as this to demonstrate the glory of God on this earth. And so have I. And God designed us to do that here together at this time because guess what? We're both here. Whether you're in Pittsburgh, whether you're in all that, all of us are. So now we're relating to one another on that basis. Right? That brings us together. That's like Survivor on an island. Hey guys, we're here together. We gotta work this out. God's gotta, and know that God has a plan and a design. So I'm not trying to make something up. All I'm doing is hearing the voice of the Lord and discovering what David is, or what he is. I know what you are. He's my brother. Right, brother? Okay. But what do I look at David as God sees him? Or do I look at him just as my brother, my little brother? Perhaps David, for such a time as this, has been anointed queen or king. Well, you know, like Esther, but you're not a girl. You're a man. Gosh, I'm glad it's you right now. Every single one of us, it's to my benefit to speak into David, his design, and partner up with David in that because we're together in that place. I don't even know your name. Brianna, you were designed and created by God. It's to my benefit that I know why you're here. I know that you're here for such a time as this to demonstrate the glory of God. He's created, he's prepared something. You too, Emmanuel. We have that in common. And we help each other out. And we're going to go through that, but not all today because there's so much more. But that is how we relate. That's what creates unity. Because we're all here together at this moment of time for such a time as this. For such a time as this to do what God has called us to do. And we look at each other that way. Right? Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word, Lord Jesus. Father God, there is so much that's even going on right now in terms of circumstances and situations, Lord, but you know, you've set a table before us in the midst of our enemies. Father God, help us find you in that place, Lord. Come on. Listen, right now we got to find you in that place. Because you can't keep running from that. It doesn't work. That's a word for some. That's a word for me. It doesn't work any other way. Why? Because you were designed to release the glory of God on earth now. Because Christ in you. So nothing else works. So a frustration is only an upgrade in discovering what that looks like. And you are for such a time as this to begin to release that. What if for such a time as this you began to pour out the very love that you received in that relationship? What if for such a time as this you began to speak to that wind and that situation about abortion in America? What if you did rise up and begin to release heaven's armies and people started having dreams about what really is going on because Mordecai saw it and it began to reveal and it began to manifest the glory of God on earth, and it changed the culture around that nation. It changed the culture around that city because people began to respond for such a time as this. That's you. That's me. I need you to respond. Come on. It doesn't work any other way. When I begin to respond, it's like putting dirt in a gas tank. It's like trying to run something differently. And I don't want to watch you struggle. I want you to tap in to that table. So what is it that's going on right now that's not causing you to run to the table that God has prepared to you? Do you not know that the creator of the universe, God, has set it before you? He has prepared you for this day. Hallelujah. And when we do that, there is such great Count it all joy in that circumstance because I get to discover what God is doing right now in the midst of my enemies. And I'm trusting him. Amen. Well, on that note, come on up. Okay, wait a minute. Stop. Bless you guys this morning. Thank you so much. I know Andy put a little pressure on me this morning to do something good. Really love you guys. We'd love to see all the family here and to bless your family. So we don't take it as a small thing. I do want to get the kids too when we do it. So
why don't you
awesome. All right. Bless you guys.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. This is a special time. This is a special time for Hadassah. And I'd like to read Psalms 91 over Hadassah right now and over the family. Whenever my wife gets concerned about her children, about her grandchildren, her adopted grandchildren, she runs to the Bible, and she pulls out Psalms 91, and she starts reading, and it says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall he take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terrors by night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. A thousand may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look, and you will see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling place. For he shall give angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver you, Hadassah. I will set him on high, because he has known your name. Hadassah, you will call upon and will answer him, and he will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you, Hadassah, and honor you. With long life I will satisfy you and shall show you my salvation." These are the words this morning. And so, Andy and Tirza and Hadassah, will you come on up here? Also, Grandma and Grandpa Ricks and Grandma and Grandpa Hudson. And if the great-grandparents want to come up, they can come up too. Anybody that wants to this morning, we would ask that you would stand with Andy and Tirza, because we're going to pray this morning. And we're going to believe. We're going to believe that the word that Tom spoke this morning is going to be true. Okay? Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Elders, will you come forward, please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This is a special time. I don't know whether I've seen parents, grandparents, and great-grandparents at a dedication service. But you know what? This is a special time, a very, very special time that Andy and Tirza have decided this morning that they're going to bring Hadassah forward, and that by bringing her forward this morning, they have decided they've decided that they're going to do everything in their power. They're going to do everything in their power to bring her up so that she gets to know Jesus as her personal Lord and Savior. And that's the prayer of our hearts as elders this morning. And we stand with Andy and Tirza this morning. That's what we do. The Ecclesia stands with Andy and Tirza this morning. And it's our responsibility to help bring Hadassah up in the Lord. So I'm going to give the mic to Tom.
Let's pray for Hadassah this morning. Father God, we are so grateful for the gift of Hadassah. Thank you for your call upon her life. And God, she doesn't understand that yet, but you do. So we trust you. God, we ask that at an early age, she would come to know you as her Savior, that she would call upon your name. God, I pray that you would protect her. I pray that the blood of Jesus would surround her in all of her life. I pray that she would learn early to obey and to trust you, that she would learn early to call upon you, that she would learn early to seek you. We claim the promise that your word gives her, and we pray that she would come to know that in her life there would be times when, just like her namesake, she would know that for such a time as this you have placed her upon the earth. Thank you for Andy and Tirza. God bless them as parents. Thank you for the love that they have for Hadassah. God, I pray that you would use them to lead her to you. I pray that they would teach her early the truths of your word. Protect their marriage, protect their family. God, for this church, they will be instrumental in her life. So I pray that you would just give them wisdom too. God, lead them as they have input in her life as well. We thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in her life. We thank you, Father, for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, this is a real great day. I get to think about you so early in the morning, and the Lord had some real good things to speak. Does anyone else have a word over Hadassah? Okay. Marky, come on. We're going to have you start it out here. All right.
God loves her just the way she is, and she is so cute, and she's a member of the family, and she is really cute.
Very God. You want to come? JP, it's good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you. I just really heard the words compassionate confrontationalist. And that was an interesting combination. And those sometimes they don't seem like they fit. But when thinking of what Tom spoke today, it really confirmed in Esther's life was the ability to have compassion, but understanding that there was confrontation that would go with that. And that she's really called as an intercessor and to carry that heart. And we stand with you in that destiny, which is a very much a leadership calling and purpose. To sometimes say the hard things that don't want to be said, but say it in love, and to do it with the heart of the Father rooted inside of her. And so she's many great days ahead to rescue and intervene and intercede for many people groups in the earth. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm really blessed because I get to spend a lot of time with Hadassa, so I've gotten to know her. She has a peace about her. I don't think I've ever had a baby in my daycare that has been so content and such a peace about her. And I know Tirza said she prayed over her in her womb. And she's determined, but not in a crazy way. I mean, she's just, I love her determination. But she's also just a little jabber. She loves to talk. She talks all day. And right now she's missing her nap, so that's why she's like, Jabers, you guys messed up my schedule. But I don't think it's accident that you named her Hadassa Esther. And I believe that she has a legacy of strong family that believes in prayer and believes in standing in God and contending for that legacy in prayer. And I believe she's an extension of that. And as we've been learning, you know, we can do warfare in prayer, but when we come into a realm of authority, you know, Esther came into a realm of authority as a queen. And when she came into that realm of authority in prayer, it's a different realm of speaking. It's understanding what God wants. And then, in Esther's case, she fasted and prayed, and Mordecai and the Jews did that. And she went before the king, and he held out a golden scepter to her. And that golden scepter was a realm of authority. And I believe that, you know, the church is coming into that, and I believe that these generations are going to understand that more than us. Because in our generation, we battled. But when we really understand what God, the authority and the dominion that God has given us, and I think we'll teach that into our children, and I think Hadassa will understand that and move in a realm for her generation that's going to be just powerful. She's special. There's just something special about her. I keep telling Tirza I got 5 granddaughters, and she's right up there with them. but I believe she, you know, the word says that as parents we raise them up in the way that they should go. The Amplified says in their abilities and talents, and we see that. Or in another translation it says in their bend. And I just pray over you guys that you understand her gifts and the talents that God has given her for her destiny, and that you'll speak into those gifts and talents, that she will use them for the kingdom of God. And I just believe she's going to be a mighty woman of God with a voice to speak.
I think that too, Mary, she's going to be a mighty woman of God. From the moment I saw her on the warmer in the nursery, I saw strength, a strength in that little baby. And I only have 2 words, and they tie in with what JP said and what you said, that she is a warrior princess, that she's going to war in the heavenlies, and she has that authority too, the warrior princess. Those are the things that have God's been showing me over the last couple of months for her.
Hallelujah. When we were worshiping today, I saw, and the Lord said to me, he said that she is fire, and then she is light. And I said, what do you mean by light? He said, grace. And she's going to carry a grace on her life. And the fire is, as I was standing over there, I really asked the Lord, it started to show me that this fire was, she'd be able to enter into situations with the word of the Lord. And even in a challenging way, but because of the grace that she's carrying, it won't bring offense. So I just really want to release this upon her life. It's something she's going to walk in, even at a young age. She's going to be able to help people with their situations. She's going to be able to bring clear direction. Clear, like, no, that's not it, that's not it. But yet she does it. She's going to have the anointing of grace upon her life. Yeah. The light of the Lord. And it's like people are going to be, you would think they would be shocked, but they're going to accept it because of the gift of God in her life. And Father, right now in the name of Jesus, God, Father, we release the gift of fire, God. Lord, and everything that means. Lord, and we release the gift, Father, of light and grace. Father, that in her lifetime, God, even at this age, Lord, she would walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. God, that she would walk with fire, but she would carry the grace of God upon her in such a way that it would bring light into the darkness, that it would pierce the darkness. Father, I know that is the desire of her parents and her grandparents, is that she would be one that would pierce the darkness, Father, by her very life, by her very existence. And I just keep hearing the Lord say that even at a young age, really take this to heart, because you can really guide her. I mean, I see her at 1 and 2 and 3, just really God using her. Even like walking up to strangers that don't know God or know the kingdom, and she's going to speak a word over their life. But it might even be confronted, but in a sense, but the grace she carries, I'm telling you, you're about to lead them to the Lord. There's an anointing and a call on this girl for such a time as this, from this day forward. Yeah. Not when she's of such an age, but from this day forward. She's really, God's going to use her to open doors for you guys. God's going to use her to put situations in your lives where the gift in her life, and you get to be a part of it. Father, right now we release the miracles, signs, and wonders. Father, we call them forth down from the heavenlies right now. Father, that even this year, Lord, you use her in such a way that, Lord, that fire that's in her and the light and the grace that she carries. Father, I pray that you would give her parents and grandparents and great-grandparents the wisdom and understanding of God. Father, to guide her, but yet, Father, to lead her in these things, God. Father, we thank you for what you do. God, right now we release your anointing in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, right there, come on. Come on, right there. Lord, let her fill her up, God. Fill her. Lord, let her drop in this room. Lord. Wow. Mm.
I just really believe that she's going to have a gift of discernment. You know, when I have seen her, she watches everything, and she watches everybody. And I've had a first look at her when she's I see her in her high chair, and she watches me really closely. And I just think that her gift will be spiritual discernment. She'll be able to discern. And she's already doing that. She really discerns the things around her. So.
All right. This is what I had this morning. I call this one to a John 10:10. And she's, you want to read this here? Okay, John 10:10, move of God, where the thief is going to rob, steal, and destroy, but abundant life took the plan away from the enemy. As Esther sees and knows who the enemy was, she will know and have a strategic plan. Strategic plan, I like that. And a place for the robber to be robbed from the instruction of the Holy Spirit. And I hear the word star, almost like a morning star, but I was almost thinking like a star that led to the birth of Christ. And I see abundance, which is given to royalty. The spirit of abundance will live with this child. And that's where Tom was trying to get her abundance and her royalty. So we think this is a real special time. These prophetic words that have been given, you take them, you keep them, you treasure them, and give them to the Sunday school teachers so they know what's already been spoken over this one's life. And so, Danny.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This has gotten a little bit long, but you know what? These words are being recorded, and these words are important. And they will follow Hadassah all the days of her life, every day of her life. And parents and grandparents, this morning, Community Church International, Thief River Falls, Minnesota, certificate of dedication. This certifies that on the 27th day of May, 2018, the parents, together with their families and their local assembly, gathered together as witness, do dedicate this child, Hadassah Lene Hudson, to the family and service of God, and have pledged to raise this child with love and in the Christian faith to the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Hadassah, today we congratulate you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Wow, thank you, family. What a great atmosphere. Before we dismiss, speaking of Warrior Princess, we're doing the Rising Warriors Kids Camp. We have all the brochures on the table back there, so parents, let's grab some brochures. Let's get the kids signed up with all the information. It's on the back table back there. So we'll go over that. God bless you.
You got anything else?
You guys are dismissed. Thank you for a wonderful service, family. It was a fantastic. Thank you all. Amen. You are dismissed.